what are some of the impacts we see of peer pressure? I mean, how do we actually feel pressured in such a way by seeing what others are doing?
Yeah, so I guess in a way what we might see is, again, like you say, the pressure and the psychological expectation to maximise the time perhaps that you've got at home or with your children. And while that's a good thing in many ways, that we should make use of this time productively, the issue comes around when it's a type of motivation that isn't necessarily useful to us. And that's the type of motivation that's driven by social expectation. And that may not be necessarily driven by your own agenda, which should be based on things that you value. And that can lead you to do things that you don't necessarily value for the wrong reasons.
Are we particularly vulnerable at it at the moment, given the extreme current circumstances?
Potentially you could be. I mean, because people might be engaging a little bit more with social media and aspects like that in order to maintain maybe a sense of normalcy or social contact during a time of relative social isolation. But what we've got to ask ourselves is around the function it's actually serving for us during this time. If it's serving you a positive function and you can only, you know, people have to determine that for themselves. For example, if you're attempting to network during this time, then some forms of social media are going to be useful for that. And then other forms of social media can make us feel quite vulnerable. All of us doubt ourselves in some aspect of our lives. And so it can make us particularly vulnerable to questioning how we're using our time, the way we're parenting our children or homeschooling our children for many of us. And it can sort of bring about those issues of self-doubt at a time when we're perhaps trying to wrangle with other types of stresses as well.
Now, I like to think of myself as a bit of a rebel, a bit of an outsider, not necessarily influenced by others' activities and opinions, but is this a little bit more insidious than we might think, the way in which these ideas of self-doubt actually take root?
Yeah, I think all of us are probably vulnerable to it at some point, particularly while we might, for example, you might think of yourself as having a fairly robust level of self-esteem or not self-suffering from self-doubt that much. We all have a vulnerability in some aspect of our lives, whether it be, for example, parenting or academic capability or what you should be doing with your spare time at this point. The other added issue here is that people are experiencing a lot of other psychological stresses, and that could be related to perhaps caring for loved ones during a time when they might be worried about their health, caring for their own health. So compounded, like we know that these types of stresses can accumulate and compound and deplete resources. And under those conditions, we might even be more vulnerable to certain levels of messaging around, you know, aspects of ourselves where we're not quite sure we're doing the right thing. At these times, I think it's useful to use things like self-affirmations, just remembering that you're okay and other people are okay too. The types of self-affirmations you use really depend on your personal preference and what speaks to you. But I think those self-affirmations are quite useful. I think it's also useful to remember to set your own agenda. You know, how do you want to use this time? And when you do that, you're less vulnerable to the influence and being persuaded by others because you've directed your behaviour in a particular way and hopefully based on the things that you find the most valuable.
What about taking a step backwards from the likes of social media, screen time and all that itself? I mean, is that going to help us or are we still going to feel that, I guess almost that FOMO feeling, that fear of missing out that will just compound these sorts of issues?
Yeah, look, I think you can take a step back from it if you have, if your level of self-awareness says to you, this is affecting my well-being and health. And I'm going to speak to this, I guess, from a resilience perspective, because that's my area of research. And when we look at resilience, one of the major factors is that level of self-awareness about both how things in the world affect you, how your emotions are triggered and whether they're good or bad, helpful or unhelpful emotions at that point in time, what kind of thoughts it triggers, whether they're helpful or unhelpful thoughts at that particular point in time. And it's really, I don't think there's any rule about pulling back or engaging with social media. I think we need to ask ourselves, how does it make me feel at various points? What are the boundary conditions for that? For example, do I feel worse if I'm looking at Instagram as opposed to Facebook? What's the reason that I'm engaging in this? Is it because I'm bored and don't have much else to do with my time, in which case you might use your time in a different way, something a bit more value-based? Or is it because you're actually trying to stay in touch with family, check in? Maybe you're trying to network because you've lost your job or you're unemployed at the moment and you're trying to work out what to do next. And in that way, social media, connecting through, say, things like LinkedIn platforms can be quite useful to us for servicing those kind of goals, if that makes sense.
Mm. Well, Monique, do appreciate your insight into this one this morning. Obviously, it's one I think a lot of us are dealing with. Do appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you, Sean.